Well, I don't know if you guys are having a good time. We've heard a lot of reports. We know last week we sent out the kind of the marriage meeting guide. We sent you guys on a date. You got to get rid of your kids. You actually got to just leave your kids. Some kids came out after like the second service and were waiting to see their parents. They ran out and they're like, "No one's here. What's going on?" Well, it wasn't nobody. It was their friends and nachos and hot dogs and lemonade and all kinds of goodies and stuff for them. And so they quickly forgot that you weren't here. But hopefully you guys had a great time going out and just really sitting down and beginning to discuss, you know, where are we at, right? We talked about you go into the mall, or what used to be the mall. Everybody has their mall memories of Hot Topic and JCPenney and Sears and everything like that. None of those things exist anymore, right? And you walked in and there was the big sign that said, "All right, here's all the stores, but you are right here," and you got to plan your route. And we hope that, I know that some couples went home and took a nap. But hopefully you woke up re-energized and you were able to have that marriage meeting and follow that agenda and really put into practice some of the things that we've been talking about, like having that no yelling zone when you talk about finances, sitting down and going over the budget together, not just one person in the couple forcing it on the other. Hopefully you've been able to talk through your time and where it goes and even go over the nerdy like Excel spreadsheet that we sent out and like say, "All right, this is where my time is going to go." Because I've learned that if you put it on paper, like if you make it make sense on paper first, it can make sense in real life. And so hopefully you've been able to do some of these things that we've been talking about. And today we jump right back in. Now, as we got to celebrate Charity graduating this past Friday, congratulations, darling. We got to go out to Virginia and see her finish up her associates at Life Pacific Virginia, University of Virginia, or LPUVA, for those that like want to really know what it really stands for. But it is the Four Square College out in Virginia. And one of the things that you see in Virginia is not only funny souvenir things at the gas stations, but you also, I got to see some rednecks and some houses and some people riding in trucks. How many of you guys... How many of you guys remember that? Not just riding in the truck, but riding in the back of the truck. Anybody, any back truck riders? Anybody still riding the back of trucks? And like, I don't see it these days. I don't see people riding in the backs of trucks these days. I used to be one of those people that rode in the backs of trucks. I would lay in the back, and my dad would be driving me home from baseball practice. I'd be looking up at the stars and seeing all of God's handiwork and thanking him for all that. And I love sitting in the back of the truck, except for... There was one time where it went all wrong, right? Because we were digging ditches. Anybody ever dug a ditch before? Nah, yeah, I'm sure Frank has dug plenty, and Damon, yeah. You dig a ditch to clear it out. And so it was summertime, just as many of your kids are about to be out of school and in summertime. And I would be at the church almost every single day during the summer. And sometimes it would be painting walls, sometimes it would be working on different projects, but this particular day, it was digging ditches, exciting stuff, Hannah, right? You're just ready, like, you're like, "Hey, can I come to Innovation and dig a ditch?" And Rob would be like, "Yeah, you can clear out that one right in the front that always gets all muddy, right?" And so we would dig out the ditches so that the water would flow and not pool up and everything like that. And so we'd dig out all the debris and brush and trash and everything like that. Well, in order to do that, we had a truck and a wheelbarrow and all that stuff, and then we'd put in like decorative rock and stuff so that it wouldn't keep growing back. So we finished up the job. All the shovels and stuff are in the back of the truck, and then we decide not to ride in the back of the truck because we're all messy and stuff. So we decide to ride, or not in the cab of the truck, so we ride in the back of the truck. And we just sit across the back tailgate, right? You just ride across the back tailgate. You're not going far. And then there's always somebody that has the brilliant idea. That somebody is me. And so we're sitting there, and I can't do it on that table. So sit up here. Right? And so we're sitting there. I'm going to lose a kidney. Anyways, so we're sitting there, right? And you're just riding across, bumping, 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 bumping. And we're not going fast. I mean, I mean, what, 30 miles an hour, right? Like, it doesn't seem that fast, just driving through the parking lot and stuff. And so I got my buddy Jesse over here and Jeremy over here, and we're just sitting there, just riding across. And I'm like, you guys think I could land on my feet? and why do you guys go, oh, like, what do you see coming that I didn't? And because I was like, I could probably land on my feet. And they're like, no, you can't. I'm like, watch this, right? Famous last words, right? And I jump up and I land on my feet. And I'm like, well, that wasn't that. Ah! And go fall straight back and smack, bash my head right on the brand new asphalt that was there. And I don't remember. There's a period of my time. I don't know how many of you guys, we don't have to raise hands for that one. How many of you have periods of time in your life that you just don't remember? Like, it's where time went by. I've got stories. and there are sections of my life that I don't remember, because the only thing I remember is hitting that pavement and then waking up and there were a crowd of people hovering around me, trying to wake me up. Are you okay? Okay, okay. Slapping me around, everything like that. And I didn't know what was going on. Well, today, in round five, we're calling them rounds instead of weeks this time, because we've been talking through different rounds and being in the ring and fighting for your marriage. Not just in your marriage or not just in your relationship, because you could be fighting for a friendship. Right? Those are worth fighting for. You could be fighting for a family relationship. You could be fighting for some in-laws relationship, like whatever it may be. But a lot of the context has been geared towards relationships and marriage and stuff. But all these principles do apply to life very much so. And so today, though, we talk about that very essence of fighting, that conflict. And as we talk about fighting and conflict, what does it look like, and how can we fight fair? Well, if we're going to come back from a knockout, right? And that's kind of what today is titled, this coming back from this knockout, this fight, this knockdown, drag-out fight where somebody lost and somebody won. How do you come back from that in a relationship? How do you come back from that in a friendship? Well, the first thing is that conflict. I don't know if conflict, the word conflict excites you. Some people like hear it and they're like Enneagram 8s and they're like, oh, conflict, I love conflict. Right? They get excited about conflict. They're ready and they're like, tell me who to go after. I just want them. And then there's others that like shy away from it at all costs. How many shy away from conflict at all costs? You're like, I never want to bring it up. I never want it to happen. Everything should just be roses. And so there's a broad range of people that are in here. But when it comes to conflict, we have to know that it's inevitable, right? Conflict is inevitable. It's a real and really unavoidable reality. Whether you're a best friend with somebody or whether you're married to somebody, there is going to be conflict. It is going to happen in every relationship. And it's going to happen between father and son, mother and daughter. It's going to happen between best friends. I was recently in a conflict, just a couple months, and it lasted. And it was like, well, should we just go our separate ways? Is it really worth it? And then we sat down over some White Castle and said, it's worth it, right? It's worth working it out, right? And it was beautiful. And we were able to resolve it. But it's James that says something interesting about trouble. Like, a lot of people would call conflict trouble, right? There's a throwdown that's about to happen. He talks about troubles and he says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Isn't that exactly what you want from your best friend or your spouse to say, like, okay, it's time to fight about something. Oh, this is so exciting. I am so happy. I don't know if it's gentlemen, right? If you get the text, where are you? And you're like, oh, I'm so excited, right? I'm about to have to send a text that I'm gonna be an hour late from home, from work, and this is gonna go well, right, Sean? This is gonna put a smile on everybody's face. I'm gonna consider it joy today, Caden, to say I'm late. And no, that's usually not the case. But James is here telling us that when trouble comes your way, right? When conflict comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. You know, when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And so for all those that are perfect and complete that need nothing today, you can probably just take the notes down, but you probably already know all this stuff. But you are ready to take all this stuff out and go help the rest of the world if you're perfect and complete and needing nothing. But for those that aren't, like me, then maybe you want to pay attention, because conflict is real. And it is an unavoidable reality. But could it be seen as joy? How could it be seen as joy, Pastor Billy? How could I ever see a conflict as joy? Well, maybe if you're not in conflict to beat the other person. Maybe if you're there to learn, there to grow, there to find out what the growth point for you and for the other person may be. One of the things that I've learned about conflict is that there's triggers to conflict, right? It's a word that is out there, and there's triggers for everything. I used to get triggered by glass coffee tables. Why? Because I sat on one and I fell through it before. And that hurt. I had glass shards all up in my arms and blood going everywhere. And so anytime there was a glass coffee table, I was far away from it. I didn't want to be near it because I knew what those things could do. And so I would stay away from those. There's a little dog that I know named Kevin. He's a tiny little thing. He's about this tall and this big. And I got to show this side too. Sorry, guys. He's about this big. And Kevin was triggered by men, because the men in his life always kicked him and beat him and yelled at him, threw him across the room. But when I met Kevin, I came in, oh, happy little dog. Like just a little chihuahua thing ready to bite my head off, and wanted to scream and yelp. And I was like, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with Kevin. But he was triggered. See, there's triggers in our past. Learning that about one another. I talked in the first service about me and my wife because she wasn't here. That made it a lot easier. But there was a trigger that came up, I think, even after we moved here. And it was Sunday afternoons. She always grew up, and even for a lot of our marriage, we would go to church, and then we would go out to eat as a family and eat. Well, after doing two services and guitar and worship and then trying to get all six kids out to eat, it was not like, let's go out to a restaurant and let's celebrate and relax. It was like, no, let's huddle them all. Let's hide them in a corner. Let's push them away from the public eye. Let's make sure that everything is calm and stable and not craziness in a restaurant with a bunch of kids. And so we would go home, and she would just be irritable and upset, and I would notice this sometimes week after week after week. And one, she didn't want to cook on a Sunday afternoon after her being here just as much as me, 7:30 in the morning, getting all the kids ready, getting everything ready. She didn't want to go home and cook. And so we had to work through that and talk through that. There was an expectation, and so then there was a trigger in her that I wasn't helping fulfill. There's a lot of things that can go on in our lives. Could some of those triggers of being, hey, he's not home yet, right? Where's he at? What's going on? He hasn't texted me. He called and he's going to be late. And this is what the last boyfriend did. Right? There's past triggers. There's things that we haven't talked through and haven't been willing to talk through that are causing even some of the conflicts and some of the worries and some of the stress and some of the anxiety. Do we understand those? I told you guys last week about how I would come home from Subaru and maybe be like, how's your day? I'm like, shut up about my day. Leave me alone, right? Because I didn't want to talk about my day. There was a bunch of crap that happened in my day, as almost every single day out there at the plant. And so I didn't want to rehash it and re-go over it. I just wanted to get home and play with my kids. And she wanted to hear about my day, and I didn't want to talk. And so we had to work that out and talk that out. See, in conflict, many times it can be like a dance, right? There's pretty dances, there's the waltzes, and since it's Taco Sunday, right, we should have some burros and be dancing around those and everything like that. But in this dance, there can be, in conflicts, there's tension, right? There's this back and forth. There's sometimes this unrest that sits there, and it can be this dance. You're dancing around the tension and trying to not step on those, the grenades or bombs or anything like that. There's this dance, and there's this defensiveness, right? When that tension's there, that conflict is there, this, I've got to defend my view, I've got to defend my way, I've got to defend myself, right? There's this disconnect, there's this detach. But when the Bible sets ground rules for conflict, like in Proverbs 18:13, where it says, spouting off before listening to the facts, it says it's both shameful and foolish. Before you can actually sit down and listen to the facts, to just spout off, to just be led by the emotions, it's saying is just foolish and shameful. Ephesians 31 and 32 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, even through Christ, has forgiven you. What if we walked in to a conflict with some preparation? I know many times that's not how it happens, but what if we said, okay, there's something that come up, we can't talk about that right now, right? Many of you are really good at like, hey, there's kids in the room, we don't need to discuss this right now. We'll discuss it at a later time. We'll discuss it at a later date, a later location. There was a couple that I was counseling once that were just going at it. It was just a new fight every single week. And we came up with some a fight to remember, right? And we said, what can there be some ground rules for this fight? Can we name what this fight really is truly about, right? And so it's got, you know, the title, right? Because you can put a catchy title on it, burnt lasagna, right? Like, again, right? Like, whatever it may be. And there can be definitely, hey, talking to girls online that are not your spouse, right? There could be those, right? There could be the location of this fight. Where are we going to have this fight at? The cause of this fight, the other contributors, the solution, and then what's the growth point? How are we going to grow from this? Because we're getting into this conflict not to yell at one another, not to scream, not to fight at one another, but to get on the same page over this issue. We came up with ground rules. The first one is pray, right? There's been times where me and Mandy we've been going at it, and we're like, why don't we just pray? And that extinguished everything. And like, we get done praying, we're like, what did we fight about? What are we fighting about again? Like, is it really worth it anymore? Like, yeah, what if you prayed before every fight? That might change the way that you fight. Another one was, don't go low. No name calling or insults, right? She doesn't like to be called the name of her mother. Just throwing that one out there for you guys. Like, that does not work, just in case. Use I and not you. I feel instead of you never, right? You see how those two, like that was a good ground rule. Leave the past in the past. Anybody good at, like, time travel in here? Okay, so Damon's good at time travel. And so if anybody needs to go change the past, see Damon. But if that line is too long after the service... Yeah, if that line just gets too long, then go ahead and just leave that past there, because you can't change that. You can only change the future. And so where do you want this to go? Where do you want this argument to actually lead you? Where do you want it to take you? What if you set an end time at the start so that you're not going over, so that you're actually staying on topic? What if you embrace the differences? We've already talked about that in this series, that they are good and that they are needed. And what if you're not afraid to call in outside support? Right, because we all need somebody else that has gotten the pole out of their eye so that they can help us with the speck in ours. And so there's calling in outside support. So there can be conflict that's a bad dance, this tension that's a bad dance, this defensiveness, this detachment, this disconnect, but there's also a good dance. There can be a good dance out of this tension. So there you can talk about how we can connect over this fight. How can we be stronger out of this? You can result can be authentic oneness. Not you can feel value, you can feel heard in this discussion. And that's why we say to write it out first. To write it down. What is the actual thing that you want to talk about instead of letting emotions get the best of us? And so that guide, if you want that guide, we can email it to you. Just you can write down on the connect card, like, I'm ready to fight. And just turn that in at guest services or at the offering box over there on the side. But if you're ever going to come back from a knockout, you got to realize that conflicts are inevitable, that everybody has them, that everybody in this room has fought with somebody, and you're probably going to fight with somebody else. And so everybody has them. We can learn from one another, but they're not like foreign. Every couple is fighting. Every friend has fought at some point in time. It's an unavoidable reality. But we also have to figure out the triggers. What triggers are we triggering because of the way we keep doing things? And then this conflict dance of bad versus good. But then there's also one of the best ways to come back from a knockout is just the power of an apology. An apology, a repentance. Not a I'm sorry I got caught kind of repentance, but to turn away from. I'm not going back. I'm never going back there. I'm putting in safeguards. There's Proverbs 15, 1 through 4, where it says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. The tongue of the wise make knowledge appearing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. The Lord is watching everywhere, keeping his eye on both evil and the good. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. What if we come gently and apologize. Apologize for the things that we've done wrong. Be willing to say that you're sorry. Don't be so prideful that you know and that you've got it right. And then lastly, if we're ever going to come back from a knockout, you're going to have to realize that there is a way forward when you can't go another route. Just like that song that we sang, there is one who makes a way where there seems to be no way. This is Jesus, these scriptures that God has given us. And this Jesus that we see is a perfect example, right? He was the one that first taught us really what forgiveness was about, because there was nobody in this room that asked for the forgiveness when Jesus climbed up onto the cross for us. It was while we were still sinners. And many times we'll say, well, I'll forgive this person if they ask for it, right? If they come to me and say that they're sorry, well, I'll forgive them, right? But Jesus didn't do that. The way forward can be that forgiveness for some people. You got to pre-forgive. I'm just saying. There's some people that you know are going to mess up, and you can say, I'm going to pre-forgive him before I go into work because he's stupid. And you just have to walk in there. Just like Peter, right? Peter asked how many times in a day that he should forgive. And Jesus said 70 times 7, right? That's a lot. Some of you are working on that math right now, right? Like, God forgave a person after person after person. I just got finished reading Judges. And it was like, how many screw-ups can be in this one book of the Bible, for crying out loud? But then it was full of entire nations. But God still offered his forgiveness to Nineveh, right? Tried to send Jonah there, and Jonah was all like racist, and I don't want to go help those people. And God said, no, I want those people. You need to go to those people. But as we close off today, there's this verse. It's Colossians 3, 12 through 15. It says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself tenderhearted, mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And make allowance, right? Make an allowance for those people, that pre-forgiving, that idiot that's always going to be that idiot, right? Right? That you're making an allowance for them because you care for them, right? Above all else, clothe yourself with love, which brings us all together in perfect harmony. Let peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. It talks about always being thankful. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace and to always be thankful. How many parts of that scripture do we negate in our relationship? Do we walk in with mercy and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience towards one another? Out of the love and the care, out of the friendship, out of the family, do we walk in, or do we walk in with a chip on our shoulder? Do we walk in with the bitterness? Do we walk in with the, I loaned them money and they ain't paid me back yet? Right? You've sat at that table, right? Look at them, see their shiny new watch and their phone that's newer than yours, and you're like, hey, you still owe me $3,000, dude. Like, come on, pay up. Right? You can sit there, and you don't say that out loud because it would ruin like Christmas dinner or whatever, but you're sitting there thinking that inside the whole time it's eating you alive. See, what parts of those scriptures are we taking out of our relationships? Because, oh, they did us wrong. Oh, I'm not ready to forgive. Oh, I'm still mad at. But since God chose you, says, then this is how we're supposed to act. Right? And this is how we're supposed to act. If you need help walking through these, that's kind of why I wore the referee shirt today, of like, hey, like we're here to help. We're here to separate. We're here to guide. We're here to throw the, like, hold up the red card and the yellow card, whatever it takes. Because Proverbs 20:18 says, plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. In Proverbs 13:18, it says, if you ignore criticism, you will end in poverty and disgrace. If you accept correction, you will be honored. Seeking help from outsiders, right? It's the one who's already got the log out of their eye so that they can help you with the speck in yours. It's those wise counselors, those good counselors. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. And that verse is for those of you that you're past some of this. You're not dwelling. It's not stirring up. You're not bickering and you're not fighting. But you know what? I can give you some names of some people that are. I can help you buy their breakfast. Can you sit down with others, even in this room and or outside this room, and find out how their marriage is doing? Find out how their friendships are doing. Find out if they have any friends. Most people don't even have any friends anymore. I know you think it's on Facebook that they're your friends, but they're not. They're just Facebook people. They're just Facebook people. When you really can sit down across from them, when they're not hiding behind a keyboard, when they're not hiding and able to type out their words and backspace and delete, when they have to look at you face to face and tell you the truth when you ask them a question. How's life really going right now? How is life with that new baby? How is life in that new marriage? How is life in going right now? Would we be willing to have those questions? In conclusion, conflict is going to be inevitable. It's going to happen. But know that it's there to help build you up. It's there to help make you stronger, not to defend against one another, but stronger in that relationship. I was recently going through a conflict with one of my friends, and I was pushing away for a couple months, and I said, is it really worth pushing away? Do I love this person enough to lean in on that? To sit down and have the discussion, to have the White Castle burger and say, you know what? Let's work this out. Let's not let it push us apart. It can be a dance. Conflict can definitely be a dance, but with a little grace and humor and a whole lot of forgiveness, we can turn those rough patches into a beautiful tapestry. My mom right now is making, out of all my son's old t-shirts, a t-shirt quilt for his graduation. It's fun to see all these t-shirts, though. But some of them should have been put out to pasture, right? But some of them all stretched and tattered and all messed up and faded and everything. But they're coming together and making something beautiful, something for him to remember all since, like birth t-shirts all the way up through now going into college. You see these t-shirts all coming together in this beautiful tapestry. What if that was our story? What if that was the story of your friendships? What if that was the story of your relationship, of your marriage? Yeah, we've been through a lot. Got to sit and talk with the Wingers just a few months ago. Got to hear their stories, and they've had some ups and downs and twists and turns. But they're still right here loving Jesus. Still serving him, still raising a little bit of those boys, right? Still trying to teach them. Still here loving on them. Still contributing in their community, contributing in their church, using who they are to help build others up. So let's embrace conflict. Even though it may be a dance, I'm not sure what kind of dance it may be for you, whether it's a chicken dance or a polka dance or a waltz. But today, we close off with a song that's a lot like a waltz. It's a song called Reason to Praise. It's in that good old 6/8 time. And it talks about when I'm at my worst. Or when I'm at my end, you're just getting started. When I hit a wall, you just walk through. See, there's these times in our lives that we go through. There's these seasons in our lives. There's these twists and these turns that no matter what, God is still faithful. And so he wants to meet us right where we're at and work on what we're going through. He cares for us. He loves us. And some of you, this series is an answer to your prayer that you've been praying, some of you for months, some of you for years. And in the midst of it all, he's ready to meet you. And so today, as we close off today, can we stand? Can we sing? Can we praise him even in the midst of whatever junk we may be walking through? Or maybe we're coming out of something, or maybe we're getting ready to go into something, right? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. That was right before exile, but it was still good plans. It was still a plan to prosper. It was still the plans that God had for him. Can we trust in his plans no matter what we're facing right now? I believe so.